The party's just begun.
Sonic Boom!
Sit, would you kindly? Where's everyone going? Bingo? Kept you waiting, huh?
8 seconds. Fuck off.
You know what? I don't see a record button on my end. So
I see it. I see it on my tab.
Yeah, using fucking PC like peasants, dude. Nah.
I see it on my upper tab.
I have a very nice laptop that knows how to record on command.
Hey, so. I just had to do the command, okay?
Whatever you say, bud.
Let's make lemonade, dude. Let's go.
Hello and welcome to the NPC podcast. God damn it, we're noobs. In the case, big time noobs, wannabe pros, and occasional completionists gather to discuss.
Whoa, big time noob.
The latest in the world of gaming. There are a lot of gaming podcasts out there.
That can record.
Yeah, that's exactly. But there's a lot of NPC podcasts out there. I'm sure so.
Oh,
shit. We killed him.
I had a rogue talkie. A rogue talkie just went down right now. Hold on. I'm going to get a drink.
Damn, like that meat. We got meat going in our mouths. We got talkies going in our mouths.
Yeah, okay, so I fucked up the recording. I'm sure they've all done it at some point. This is our first time doing it. Anyways. We are also part of the Horror People's Network, so, you know, expect a little more chaos, as has been the case so far in the first minutes. Now, I am your host, Anthony Fuentes, and with me is James Brizuela.
Hello.
And Alex Cordova.
That can push record, for the most part.
Yeah, we'll see, dude. I'll give you the fucking login. Anyways, let's get to the news. We got some news this week and a lot to talk about in the what we're playing section, I'm sure. So, how about it?
All right. So, Xbox boss admits defeat. Sorry, it's say the second time I'm reading twice, this. Dude. Yeah, say I was going to say.
We'll record five times. I'll give you that.
So with the recent abysmal launch of Redfall, Microsoft Gaming CEO Phil Spencer recently went on record waving the white flag to Sony and Nintendo. In an interview with an Xbox community YouTube channel, Spencer said it is an illusion to think a console exclusive like the upcoming Starfield or the recently released Redfall would cause PlayStation players to go out and buy an Xbox. Quote, "It's just not true that if we go off and build great games, all of a sudden you're going to see console share shifts in some dramatic fashion. We lost the worst generation to lose in the Xbox One," end quote. Spoiler alert, that's also the absurd headline later, but we'll get deeper into that. But for right now,
I feel like I've heard this somewhere though. It's really
well, the audience hasn't, you fucking asshole.
I'm having deja vu really bad right now. It's really weird.
Anyway, yeah, exclusives won't move the needle, but you know what will is buying a fucking Call of Duty studio, pretending that you're going to be on Sony's side, and then pulling the goddamn rug on consumers. I think that might be a viable strategy, but maybe not as big a return as they're looking for. They don't got the balls
to do that, dude. If they were to ever make an exclusive Call of Duty, there would be like riots in the streets.
People would not go buy
an Xbox for a Call of Duty.
They're gonna trickle it in, dude. Timed exclusive DLC. They're gonna just prod away and slowly get, and then at some point they'd be like, well, you know, we got enough of user base here. It's gonna happen.
If they were really trying to stick it to Sony and everybody else, they would just make Elder Scrolls 6 Xbox exclusive.
Oh, yeah?
I'm pretty sure they're going to do that. That seems like a very feasible option right there. But, I mean, also, I think that would be stupid because Skyrim just doesn't stop selling.
I mean, you know, yeah, they could do that. But, yeah, you're right. If they were to do that, I think there would be too much of an uproar that people would... like literally, like boycott Xbox from that point on.
Yeah, Elder Scrolls is too big.
We'll get more into why this is a type of bullshit headline later. But I just want to say right now that to me it's almost like I've never really heard of a quote like this from a CEO, because you're pretty much saying like yeah, you know what? If it's not like if we go off and start building great games, it's like it's a starting point. Yeah. You should probably want to start doing that, you dumbass. Like
maybe have some oversight on certain games that are already in production and from studios you purchased, like the Vampire bullshit that just released 2 weeks ago that is still Redfall. Fucking jank, dude.
Yeah.
It looks so bad.
I mean, it looks like a fucking PlayStation 360 game in some instances, and
yeah. You see that
making
video?
Making a FPS nowadays at 30 FPS, like as a launch, is like oof.
Especially this late into the console's life cycle, too. They should know better. Yeah. Like, they should be able to develop this shit a lot more optimized, I would say. But, yeah. I don't know, man. Microsoft is... we'll see how Starfield goes. But I'm not
putting a lot of stake into it.
Hey.
You will definitely see, because I'm certainly not going to buy an Xbox.
You know what? It's going to be like every other Xbox exclusive on Game Pass. I'm going to buy it, play it for a couple hours, think about it maybe a week, and then leave it be.
But I mean, like
the only game that Xbox released that I wanted was Battletoads, and that was it.
Oh yeah, that is on there. Battletoads is on there. That's right.
I think that was Xbox One though, wasn't it?
Yep.
It wasn't. Uh-huh. It wasn't like next gen or anything. But
it was towards the end of the life cycle, I think. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
but that was the only time where I felt bad. Like, well, I mean, I felt like I was missing out because I love Battletoads, and I was like, damn, that would have been cool. But you know, it wasn't enough for me to want to run out and get an Xbox. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I can't see. That's the thing. The only way I can see them actually doing this is if, again, they optimize it all for the Series S because it's the most easily purchasable console out there. Like, you get it for less than a fucking Switch. But you gotta have the exclusives. Like, you know, make that an enticing package. I think the X, I'm sorry, just gets outclassed by the PS5. Like, it's just not built to compete with it, unfortunately.
So. I mean, I have both, and I will say... The one thing I do like about my Series X is the fact that all my games that I've bought all the way from the 360 days...
backwards, yeah.
I can play, and they're automatically optimized. The PlayStation 5, you can't play PlayStation 3 games unless you're streaming them. And even then, they're not really optimized with that PlayStation... What's it called? PlayStation Now got mixed into Plus Premium and all that stuff, like... It just convoluted it.
PlayStation like Max? Xbox? Like, what the fuck's gonna happen next, dude?
Yeah, so, but that's the one thing that I think Microsoft's dumb about, too, is that, like, market that shit to people. Yeah. Say, hey, you remember everything you bought on that 360 from fucking 10 years ago? It still works, guys, and it's upscaled, and 60 FPS and all that stuff, so.
Dude, yeah, and the 360 had such a big, like, user base. Those people were probably pretty excited to go back.
Well, come on. All those servers are still up.
Yeah.
Gears 3, Halo 3, like, all that shit is still working right now.
I mean, yeah, I'll dog on Microsoft, but, like, they do make sure to take care of, like, their legacy players, at least. That's something that they're very, very good about, actually. Now, only if they were good about making games on time. That would be nice. That would be very, very, very nice. However, speaking of delayed software, we're going to go to Nintendo now. So, is it a Switch slowdown? Is that coming up right now? Well... During a recent earnings report, Nintendo has confirmed that their hardware sales of the Switch hit a fucking gigantic 125.62 million at the end of its fiscal year of March 2023. But the console sales have declined by 22% from the previous year, and Nintendo has pretty much confirmed that they don't expect much more in the way of growth. Bloomberg has reported that no new hardware, essentially, is factored into Nintendo's annual forecast. Pretty much putting the nail in the coffin for any Switch Pro or Switch 2 rumors within at least the next 12 months from this recording. So, let's discuss it. What do you guys think?
I think it's true.
Yeah, we're not getting it.
Mm-mm. Well, I mean, nowadays, the investors are the first to know, right? I mean, they're the one putting the money into this fucking... production.
Technically, they're going to have an opportunity to talk about it during the actual official discussion for this, which is in June. In June, they're going to have the investors will be able to ask directly about upcoming hardware, whatever the fuck they want. Like last year, that guy paid $40,000 in Nintendo stock just so he'd get a seat and he can ask about F-Zero. Remember that guy?
Oh, yeah.
It's been almost a year, so it's going to be that level of territory coming up. But I personally, I don't see it. I think they're going to hype it up at the beginning of 2024 for potentially a summer or fall release of the console. I don't think they want to go during fall with so much competition if they do it. So they might do an off-season thing. But that's my estimation.
I don't know if James has anything to say about his Switch over there. I mean, What? Or if he's what? Hurt. What?
Wait, who happened? What? no, I mean, you know, obviously I think they're experiencing like the, you know, the back end of what the pandemic did, because when the pandemic hit, everybody ran out and bought a Switch. You saw how many people were, they were sold out everywhere for I don't know how long.
Yeah. And,
oh yeah, what was that fucker's name, dude, that upsells?
Steve. It was fucking Steve, dude.
Goddamn yeah. Steve.
Mm-hmm. But now, like, you know, now there's people aren't in as great of a need, so obviously that's gonna, you know, that's gonna make the sales decline. Plus, I feel like, you know, now, well, I mean, now that Tears of the Kingdom is out, that's gonna help boost the sales of the Switch for sure. Mm-hmm. But there was some lag time in between, like, their next big game. Like, when did Pokemon come out?
November.
Right. Yeah. And then that was it. They didn't have anything until right now, so...
No, they just had Fire Emblem Engage, which is very niche. Fire Emblem doesn't really sell that much.
So is Advance Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and, you know, and Fire Emblem is just boring, and so are the people that use their characters. But anyway...
Oh, you use IQ, bitch.
Oh, yeah, he does.
You know what? Ike doesn't count,
all right? Ike is guts. It makes sense.
Yeah, it doesn't count. But no, I mean, like, you know, that's a long time in between big game releases, whereas, like, before they had quite a few things that were coming out. Even, like, Arceus came out not that long ago compared to, like, the new Pokemon, right? So, like, they're...
Yeah, you know, they were consistent.
Exactly. Now they're experiencing a little bit of a lull because they don't have anything big coming out. But again, Tears of the Kingdom just came out, so mm-hmm. the sales might go up. You know, that is a console selling game, Xbox.
Yeah. So, you know. Yeah, exactly. I know Xbox is taking a long time to develop their games, but like, make it fucking worth it. Tears of the Kingdom is fucking worth it. That's worth the long wait right there. Redfall, not. But I mean, on that point, what do you call? Fuck, I actually lost my point there. Shit. No, well, I had a good one. Go for it.
I think I was going to say, too, that you got to think about it, too. Everyone already has a Switch that wanted one, right? I mean,
mm-hmm.
right. There has to be a slowdown. And, you know, I alone have, like, 4 Switches in my house between me and the kids and all that. And it's like, yeah, we're not going to get more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, yeah. That's what I mean. Like, it's a drop-off of the pandemic. Like, literally, everybody ran out and grabbed one.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. they had nothing better to do, but now you have one. So what do you need to go buy another one for, you know?
Yeah. I've seen a lot of people I know bought lights and were like, fuck, this isn't enough, and then went out and bought like a bigger one. So that could be a big number two, but like that's a finite amount of people that care that much at that point. I don't think they have the casual audience as much, but they are going to rely a lot on software sales because they have a huge user base. They're mm-hmm. still going to add like 15 million or whatever to it. That's when you give us the GameCube remasters and put some fucking thousand year door this summer.
They're cowards.
I'm just saying, dude. Metroid Prime was a fantastic remaster. If they can do that caliber for more games from that era, fucking give it to me. I am with that.
They're cowards. Nintendo's cowards.
We'll find out. Anyways, let's move on to the next one. James, what you got?
So GTA 6 will reportedly be the most expensive game of all time. As per the previous leaks, the Vice City set GTA 6 is set to cost between $1 billion and $2 billion mother effing dollars to make. This is the follow-up to the second highest-selling game of all time, so the budget might be warranted. Still, there's no word on the release date, but reports have surfaced that the WaterFizz engine has been overhauled to allow activities like surfing.
Yeah, that cost $1 billion right there, James. That's $1 billion right there.
I wanted to find out, because we discussed this last time. So, according to Outsider Gaming, uh-huh. on February 23rd of this year, they put a report that says, according to Take-Two accountants, this is February, by the way, GTA 5 has generated nearly $7.7 billion since its 2013 release. Mm-hmm. And that was what, 3 months ago? So, you know, add another, I don't know, freaking $500 million onto that.
Yeah, add whatever a company would fucking kill for their annual, like, income, and they're just doing it like, oh, yeah, people like these shark cards.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that means like all of the releases together collectively,
or
if it's just like the you know the base game. But regardless, it's still you know, when people listen to this and they go, oh my God, 1 billion to 2 billion. Well, I mean, think about a 5 billion profit, you know?
Yeah. No, think about, exactly. That gigantic a profit. And also think about how many more people are gaming versus 10 years ago.
True.
There's a way bigger amount of people that are going to like, and people that grew up seeing, you know, their friends and family play GTA and be like, shit, I want to do that. Yeah. It's going
to
be their.
Yeah, now they're. Yeah. Now they're old enough to fuck.
Dude, now they're old enough for this to be their first mainline release. Like, their first follow-up. So the hype levels for GTA 6, ooh. Oh, I think it's going to beat 5.
And they get a surf. So there's that.
They get to surf. Yeah, they get the new physics engine.
So. Well, I'm calling it now. It's going to be the best-selling game of all time when it launches.
Oh, I'm sure. Absolutely. Like,
yeah.
Well, the fact that GTA 5 hasn't died and it's been 10 years, like... It's still alive and well, and they're still building it and making stuff. Like, I mean, come on. They're going to do that times 10 for this new one.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's going to be crazy.
It's going to be madness, yeah.
What pisses me off is that they couldn't just set aside out of that fucking $5 billion profit. You couldn't set aside a couple hundred million, not even 100 million, actually. You couldn't just set aside a couple million to make a fucking single-player DLC. Couldn't do that? Couldn't give us that?
I know. Rockstar? I know.
Piece of shit?
Yeah. Trust me, does that but then we're the fucking nerds that are not taken into accounting tactics here. they're like, these fucking people barely beat the campaign, they move on to other games. Yeah, we're getting the goddamn whales, and they have the most fucking whales out of anybody.
That's true.
So, you know, whatever,
dude. Literally and figuratively. So next time you're gonna be able to catch whales.
Yep, exactly. With the new physics engine, they'll just see that bitch floating in real time right there.
It's gonna be shoot in the face.
Mm-hmm. Harpoons. Yep. The whole fucking whaling industry pops up online in GTA 6. It'll be fucking awesome.
I would not even expect that not to happen.
Yeah.
Whaling industry pops up, and then you have like the PETA groups in the game trying to stop it.
Oh my god, they actually make avatars in game with protest signs and shit, and people just work the fuck out of them.
That would be amazing.
Oh yeah. Dude, if they make the online with like even more people allowed in one fucking it's gonna be insane.
I just want them to bring back fucking Cops and Crooks, dude. Because that was the one thing missing from GTA 5 that 4 had over it was Cops and Crooks mode.
That was a great mode, but you are saying shit that's like, again, only us niche-ass fucking nerds who play games care about this. They're going to give everybody like new car skins. And they're going to be like, holy fuck, I'm spending $50 on this bitch.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, but then there's... they also took, a year for the heist to come out?
Yeah.
And even then, they still recovered, but... So, like, they're probably going to make sure that whatever, like, you know, epic thing you can do in the single player, it's going to be able to translate immediately to their multiplayer. And you're going to be able to, like, engage in that activity right away instead of having to wait the whole year.
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous by any stretch of the imagination, but they still recovered.
Exactly.
Which is absurd. So absurd.
Right? They still managed to be one of the best-selling games, probably the best-selling game ever.
You know what's crazy, too, not to, like, drag this out, but if you think about it, the Red Dead Redemption 2 was one of the best games of all time. It's like literally jumped into people's top 10 lists, right?
Yeah, one of the highest rated ever.
Well, remember when Red Dead Redemption 2 online launched?
Uh-huh.
Everyone was like, oh, it's going to be the second coming of GTA 5, right? That shit barely lasted a couple months, and then Rockstar abandoned it and went back to GTA 5.
Yeah, they didn't make that money.
Online. That's fucking crazy. Like, to me, that's just crazy.
I think they ruined what the first one had, because the first one's open world, like, just kind of galloping around and just doing random shit, is what made that multiplayer experience so fun. Like, you could just form a posse, which they kind of did, but I think they tried to do too much. They try to add all of the GTA level stuff to Red Dead Redemption 2 instead of keeping it simpler. Just, like... make it simple and just expand on what they already did previously, and it would have been completely fine. But they're like, okay, well, you can be, you can be a freaking a gunslinger, or you can be a blackjack dealer, or whatever. You know, and you're like, all right, calm down. Like, we don't need all that. make it the frontier, but allow us to do what we did last time and just like literally gallop around and do random things.
Yeah,
you know, we GTA 5. Was so massive that Red Dead Redemption died because they tried to make that multiplayer as massive, and it's like, you don't need all that. Mm-hmm. Red Dead Redemption 2 is supposed to be, you know, simpler times, and like not have all this like extra crap that you can do back in the day. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, there's like a wilderness aspect to Red Dead that's different, and it makes you feel almost like survivalist at some point.
Exactly.
Yeah. And bring that, to me, if they would have made it more survival focused, fantastic. But instead, they wanted to do the whole, like, here are all these systems. It doesn't work in the same setting, man. Like, no. Yeah, that's a city.
Pay us real money to expand your camp so your friends can stay there with you. It's like, why?
Yeah. Oh, like, why the hell would I want to do that when I just want to gallop around and shoot them in the face even though they're my friends?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, one of my favorite things is people loading in together in the first one, Red Dead Redemption Online, mm-hmm. and then a throwing knife would automatically kill a horse, and watching them gallop by and just throwing a throwing knife and then they die, I did that for hours, and I was entertained. It was just so stupid fun. And I was okay, like, just give me that, but like cleaner graphics and I'm good.
Yeah. I don't know. You're right. Like, let me bust this bitch. Like, I think that would work. Yeah. I mean, we'll see. Again, this is real quick before I move on to the next section here. When do you think GTA 6 is coming out?
Like next year.
2025? Oh, you say 24?
I think next year.
I say early 2025 because I think they're going to do what they do usually. They're going to announce it for a release date, like fall of 2024, and they're going to realize it's not to their standard, and then they're going to release it early 2025.
That makes sense. I think, personally...
Book it.
Yeah.
Book it.
My heart says fall 2024, but realistically, I think James is actually more correct on that one. Only because delay culture, like, again, it's going to be a big thing, and they already have backlash from GTA, from Red Dead Redemption about the crunch culture at Rockstar.
Yeah,
they're going to want to avoid that story. So I can see 2025 spring for sure.
Well, they're usually good about delaying their stuff anyway, or like rather they delay their things and everybody's good with it because of the quality. So
when it's ready, yes.
Yeah, if they delay it, no one's going to be like up in arms about it. Like, Rockstar is one of the only companies that like everybody goes, okay, yeah, like the quality is there. I mean, Red Dead Redemption 2 obviously had its issues with the multiplayer stuff, but overall, like, the game is amazing. So it's like everybody knows, like, okay, you know what, take some more time, it's fine.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Rockstar, fucking Capcom, and Nintendo. Yeah. Like, if you give those three, like, they need more time, everybody's like, fuck it, take it, just take your time, it's fine. So, yeah. But speaking of the third one in that one, is Nintendo making their own films now?
Are they?
And Zelda's next?
Is it?
So, according to some reports, Nintendo will be self-producing future films under the Nintendo Pictures label. This comes fresh off of, obviously, Mario surpassing $1.2 billion in box office numbers, making its digital debut today, actually, when this is recording. And the Zelda team expressing interest in a movie version based off of Mario's own success. Will this affect their creative process with other studios, a la Illumination and Universal? Discuss.
I mean, sure.
A little
bit. Give it to us, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm a little bit more worried about this one because Legend of Zelda is so like lore based, and there's so much that's like that goes on.
It's pretty sacred too. Like,
right. Yeah. And like Mario, you can make a stupid zany film like that, and it still works. But you couldn't do that with Legend of Zelda and make people happy.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot more people shitting on it almost, I think. There's a lot of expectations coming to a Zelda film versus Mario where people are more curious, I would say.
And then, like, what are they going to do? Are they going to go, like, back into the original games that you released? Or are they going to go based off...
Ocarina,
they're just going to start with Breath of the Wild.
No, Ocarina, baby. Give me Ocarina. Give me the time jump. Give me fucking Baby Link and Kakariko.
Here's my thing, though. Are they going to do CGI or are they going to do live action? That's what you got to ask yourself.
Yeah,
you
know what? That's a more important question because I mean,
I agree. Like,
just give me Tom Holland as Link and we're good.
Oh, my God.
His fucking ears, dude.
I feel so good, Mr.
Mr. Gannon. Give me Tom Holland.
Was that Tom Holland or was that fucking Morty right there?
Morty?
Jesus, the Triforce of Courage?
Zelda, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Oh, Lord. Oh,
that one thing. Tell me, Zelda, what does it take to please you? I want to know.
That's fucking stupid. Oh, no. Okay, but I think we have our answer here, actually. Based off the Nintendo Pictures label, that is purely an animation studio.
Yeah.
Because it was developed, actually, to assist in game animations for the past 10 years or so. Mm-hmm. So, it's more looking more and more likely that Zelda will be animated, which Tom Holland voice him. Go for it. I don't care. That's fine by me. Yeah.
Yeah. Give me some talent. If they do CGI animation, they just need to not make it kiddie. Like, they can't do what they did with, obviously, with Mario, because Mario is that level of silliness, but they have to make it like a super high fantasy and just follow the blueprint that makes Zelda so special.
Right?
And, like,
yeah.
Then we're good. Like, you know, I don't know. Take some risks. Make it like a 3-hour movie.
Put some prestige on that bitch, yeah.
Did Detective Pikachu have any Nintendo involvement, or was it just Game Freak?
More Game Freak. Okay. That's why it didn't do as well, honestly.
But, I mean, I liked it. I thought it was a
good movie. I honestly thought that was great. I'm not even a Pokemon person. I love that movie.
No, I'm not saying it was a bad movie. I actually really enjoyed it as well. Just box office-wise, promotion-wise, and all that stuff, it just didn't have Nintendo's level of control and, like, hey, this is how... Because Nintendo was very, very involved in the Mario movie. Like, they were... Shigeru Miyamoto's name is the first fucking name there. Like, so that's, I think, why they have more confidence in opening the studio.
I was going to say, it's just too bad that they had all that involvement, and those cowards are too scared to give us that Donkey Kong fucking theme when... You know, spoiler alert for whoever, for the $1.2 billion of people that haven't seen the movie. But remember when they showed up? Mm-hmm. Remember that clip that said something like they kind of... That song that they put in there felt shoehorned in. And then once that shit started leaking that it was originally supposed to be like the Donkey Kong theme, I'm like, why didn't you do that?
Dude, did you hear the theme? No, the theme's on the official soundtrack. Did you hear it? That shit is a fucking banger.
That's what I'm saying, dude. But they put in fucking Take On Me instead. It's like, isn't Guardians of the Galaxy, bro. Like,
bro, yeah, no, you're right. Okay, see, this is why they need the studio. Because they still defy Illumination on that shit. Anyway.
See, that's the other thing. It's like, was that Illumination?
they had a reason for putting that song. I think it was like the hit when Mario came out. Donkey Kong came out?
Something like that, because the 80s music is kind of reflective of early Nintendo anyways. That's when they made their mark.
I mean, I get it, but yeah, I mean, it could have been something better. I don't know. Give me some AC/DC or something, you know?
I felt like the AC/DC song in there was fine, but like, I don't know. Like, when I saw someone say the composer or something, I don't know if it was the Nintendo composer.
Oh, did you see the edit?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, is that edit was like straight up the DK, the music went fine with...
It was 1-to-1, dude.
Yeah, exactly. But then, you know, all those rumors start happening that, they shoehorned in that movie to make it more family-friendly or more hip, quote-unquote, as the kids say. I don't know.
Again, we're bitching about, like, $1.2 billion. Like,
what? I was just going to say that. I was just going to say, look, you can say what you want, but they made $1.2 billion, so shut up.
It's like this and Rockstar. We're like, come on, can't you do, a little bit of our thing? And they're like... Dudes, we know what we're fucking doing. We're making all the goddamn money hand over fist. Shut
they're
the fuck
like,
up.
They're like that coach from Waterboy, dude, just waving the ring in front. Be like, trust me, trust me. Remember that shit at the end?
Jesus. Okay,
are you sure? He's all, trust me, trust me.
go. Okay, all right. Go. Sorry, we going for the leaky?
We're going leaky time. Leaky rumors. Leaky time, baby. See you guys. All right, dude.
So... Konami is bringing a little bit more exclusivity to Sony? Ron Burgundy? So, several gaming journalists have reported that Konami is extending their PlayStation exclusivity from just the upcoming Silent Hill 2 remake to include two other big Konami franchises, Metal Gear Solid and possibly Castlevania. The Metal Gear Solid 3 remake is rumored to be shown off at the upcoming PlayStation Showcase, which is all over the fucking internet, but we still have no timetable for when this shit is supposed to drop.
Come on, dude. This happens every fucking quarter.
Yeah. Go ahead, James. Go. Take it.
I said this last time. I'm going to say it again. Yes. Just give me Metal Gear Solid 3 Remake, and I don't give a shit what Konami does after that. Just give that to me. Give it to us. give it to the world for people who never got to play that game. Just give us that, and sure, make it a PlayStation exclusive.
I don't know. Another wedding singer quote was James like, "What's the matter, Konami? You're not going to give it to me now?"
Basically. Yeah, Metal Gear Solid 3. I think if they're going to do the, if I feel like, and if there's any fucking studio that's going to go the Capcom route, it's Konami, because
they overdo.
Look at what they're doing right now, right? Capcom fucking has hit home run after home run with the Resident Evil remakes. Mm-hmm. And Konami is straight up copying them, remaking Silent Hill 2 from the ground up. Straight up skipping Silent Hill 1, which to me is just weird as hell, but I guess. So if they're going to do the remake route with Metal Gear Solid, might as well start at the fucking very beginning, which is Metal Gear Solid 3.
Yep.
Timeline-wise, right?
Well, that, so, yeah, and I feel like Capcom and Konami have always been direct competitors compared to everyone else. They've always been, like, at each other's fucking throats for literally, like, 40 years. for almost half a century, they've always been like, I'm gonna do Metal Gear Solid. We're gonna do Mega Man. Like, it's always been, like, a back and forth with their development into 3D games, like, every single thing, except Capcom stuck with the fucking game. And Konami was chasing trends until now they realize their fucking reputation is shitter. And they got to come back. Now, let's see how they come back.
If they can deliver Metal Gear Solid 3, a really good remake, obviously without Hideo Kojima there, then they're back.
Yeah.
But if they fuck it up, they're going to be gone forever because people are not going to forgive that.
Well, I mean, Capcom was able to do it without Shinji Mikami. Yeah. But it did take some trial and error. So Konami has had their trial and error. So we'll fucking see. They don't have Kojima, but they still, hopefully they have some talented developers in there. It looks like they do, so we'll see.
I will say that Metal Gear Solid 3 is a top 3 game of all time for me. Yeah. Like, literally, it's game.
It's top 5 for sure for me, too.
Yeah. It's literally, like, you know, I think it was 20... Dude, I don't even want to start throwing dates out there, but it's been over 10, 12 years, maybe, that it came out.
I think it's closer to 15, man.
Yeah. So it's trust me, like, when I played that, I remember beating it on the OG when it was Snake Eater, and then when Snake Eater Subsistence came out, like, a couple years later, you know, I beat that shit all over again. So I want to say that is one of the few games that I've played. You know how you play Resident Evil 4 every year?
Yeah.
I don't play Metal Gear Solid 3 every year, but I know within the span of when that game came out, I played it at least 10, like, full, complete playthroughs 10 times.
Oh, yeah.
Metal Gear Solid 3 came out in high school. Because junior 2004, it came out. I remember when it came out, and you were like, you have to play this game. And you kept talking about it and kept talking about it and kept talking about it for so long. And I was like, well, damn, I can't, because I couldn't afford to get a PlayStation. I had Xbox at the time. And I was like, well,
Mr. Kenny, I can't buy this shit no more.
So, I remember when I finally bought a PlayStation 3, and then they ported it to that, and I played it. And I remember the first text that I sent Alex was like, I get it. Now I get why I get why you've been talking about this game for so long and why you wouldn't shut up about it then. Like, that's how good it is. Like, even still, it's going to be 20 years old next year, which would make sense if they're going to do the remake and release it next year. 20 years. 20-year anniversary, remake, let's go, Konami. But it's like, seriously, one of the most well-written games I've ever played. Like, the boss battles are amazing.
Dude, I was going to say, the boss battles? Oh,
yeah,
man.
It's unreal. Like, this was in 2004, and I've still never played a game that got boss battles that correct, the corresponding cutscenes with the, like, everything. I can't even talk.
Get it together, dude. Get it together, man. Jesus Christ, you got to read the next story. So,
I quit. I'm walking out. That's how good this game is. Give it to me, Konami.
I will say the only other thing for my contribution, because I haven't played the game, but literally every single human being that has ever played this game has always put it in their Mount Rushmore of games. Like, everybody. I've not met one person who's touched the controller, played Metal Gear Solid 3 Snake Eater, and it was like, no, that's just a fine game. Like, no, they're just, like, literally GOAT.
It's, yeah, it's funny too because like it almost went full circle for me and James because James told me about Metal Gear Solid 1 back in high, like, yeah. Actually, no, I'm sorry, not high school, fucking elementary school. James would like, he let me borrow or the demo disc or something and I tried it.
Changed his fucking life, dude.
And I remember beating that demo disc like fucking 10 times. I'm like, fuck, I want this game. And then when I hadn't, you know, I was able to talk my dad into getting the game and I played it and played it and played it, got everything unlocked, right? And
talking then it comes, Papa's into getting games,
and then it comes back to full circle where in high school I tell James like, dude, Snake Eater makes Metal Gear Solid 1 look like shit. And I mean, I'm not saying Metal Gear Solid 1 is a shit game, but compared to Snake Eater, it's like, dude, that was Kojima gameplay, story, dialogue, boss battles, everything was at its peak at Metal Gear Solid 3.
Oh yeah, peak Kojima, dude. Peak again. That's why these fucking guys have a lot to live up to.
They do.
Again, but if they can do like an RE4 to this, holy shit,
that's what I mean. Like if they can do that, like they can just don't ruin the base game. Do not ruin the story or the boss battles. Just take them and elevate them and give us, you know, graphically something better. Just, that's all you got to do.
Just say so easy. You're just like, just take the thing and elevate it and just make it better. Just do that. Just do that. Well, Come on. Capcom did it. Come on.
Well, because like I said, if you throw too much shit at it, you try to make it overcomplicated.
You're right.
The original game, they're going to fuck it up. And everybody's going to be like, yeah, Konami doesn't know what it's doing anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
No, you're right. Yep. We'll see. Because we'll see with their Silent Hill remake how that turns out. And then from there,
that's gonna be the first test.
Proper expectation, absolutely.
Yeah. Speaking of throwing too much shit and ruining everything, there's a Star Wars Games Resurgence.
Big time.
apparently, Disney is thirsting for an influx of Star Wars games every 6 months, according to some gaming sources. The House of Mouse, praise the House of Mouse.
All glory to the Hypnotoad.
All glory to the Hypno-Mouse. The House of Mouse wants one major AAA release a year, as well as one smaller scale game. Kind of like 2019's Jedi Fallen Order and 2020's Squadrons. So far, there are a reported 8 confirmed Star Wars games in various stages of development from various studios. So there's probably some truth to this.
Yeah.
As long as they're good.
I know.
Yeah.
As long as they're good.
But really, they haven't been bad.
Not since Battlefield 2.
Battlefield 2 missed the mark, but everything other than that has been pretty fun, pretty good, you know? I think it's really hard to fuck up a Star Wars game. But also...
But they've done it.
What I'm saying is, like, you know, just keep the Knights of the Old Republic, make that... Do that remake and do some more remakes. Like, everybody's been asking for a Shadows of the Empire remake, and I'm down.
Oh, shit.
Like, give us a Shadows of the Empire remake. You know, some of those games are remakes, even the smaller scale ones, obviously that they're just, like, making them look cleaner. You know, an HD remake of it, I'm fine with that. Just give it to us again.
Dude, I haven't thought about the Shadows of the Empire in a long time. Holy, that'd be a fantastic remake.
I was going to say that.
And Dash Rendar, baby. Give me the...
Yes, sir.
There's a Star Wars RTS. Was it Star Wars Empires or?
I can't remember. I feel like I've seen the Game Informer story back in the day. I know exactly what you're talking about.
And I know that there's still a cult following for it on PC, but that's the thing. Star Wars couldn't cover
Galactic Battlegrounds?
I think it was that one. Or Galactic Empire, something like that. But yeah.
Either way, the Emperor was in the background on the fucking cover.
It was RTS.
Yeah, it came out in 2002, I mean.
Yeah.
Does that sound right? Yeah.
Yeah, so
Galactic Battlegrounds, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like Star Wars is one of the few, I feel like, franchises that can cover any and all, like, genres, right?
They got pod racers, baby.
You can have pod racing, you can have fucking space simulators, you can have... Mm-hmm. Fuck, if they even wanted to, you can do like a Star Wars survival game, like a Stardew Valley or Minecraft type of thing, you know?
Yeah,
like,
right, cool. You get me a little excited here thinking about that one. That'd be great.
I mean, look, they just drop you in Dagobah and they're like, all right, survive. Like, I'd be
exactly.
Dude, Breath of the Wild Dagobah, let's fucking go, dude. You're a little Yoda doing your training right there.
We've said this many times. Not everything has to be Breath of the Wild.
Come on, but this one could be.
But this no, movie... you're right. They can do racing. They do like dogfighting, obviously, with like, you know, the ships and everything. Mm-hmm. They can do RTS. They can literally do, you know, story driven. They can do everything and exist in those spaces. So yeah, like give us something for everybody.
Basically. They could remaster Rogue Squadron. Give us the trilogy again. Give us the first three games. Yeah. You already developed it for the Wii. And you didn't fucking release it to 100%. I'm still pissed about that.
Give me a remake, a console remake of Jedi Outcast.
Yeah.
A good one. A good one.
Yeah. Not these remasters, a full-on fucking remake.
Yeah, a remake. Give me that.
Yeah, that's the thing about all these, I think the 8 games. We got a story one from Amy Henning, which is the ex-producer from, ex-developer from Naughty Dog who helped create the original Uncharted, so like give her a Star Wars game, and woof, like just think Uncharted Star Wars in a way where you're a bounty hunter, maybe smuggler, something, right? Don't even let lightsabers appear in that shit, and I guarantee you she'll still make it somewhat good. Like I said, Uncharted in Star Wars,
boss is gonna have a lightsaber, and then you're gonna be like, ah, oh, I am fucked. Like that's gonna be the cinematic moment, and then you beat them, and it's gonna feel like $1 million.
And then, you know, you got Respawn. Respawn is Jedi Survivor and Fallen Order is their baby now.
Yeah.
Where, you know, they originally, I think it was Disney or maybe Lucasfilm, one of them straight up told them at first, like, yeah, you guys can't use Jedi. And then what happens when they bring in the guy who helped make God of War 3? I think, actually, no, he was the director of God of War 3.
Mm.
Stig Asmussen. They brought him in and straight up said, like, nah, like, this guy made God of War 3 one of the greatest action games ever from PlayStation 3.
Yeah.
And they're like, you know, they talked him into saying, all right, we can see what you can do. And then we got, you know, the Fallen Order and Survivor series now, which is amazing. Like, the only thing wrong with those is more technical side of things, right?
Exactly. If that. But they've already, literally just reputation-wise, have turned Star Wars around completely.
So. Yeah, and then I also think that Respawn is doing FPS, I believe so.
That's fine.
Titanfall boys, right? Okay.
Yeah, Titanfall, yeah.
Okay.
So. And then, you know, Quantic Dream is also making one. And Quantic Dream made one of my all-time favorite games, which is Heavy Rain, so I'm fine.
Quantic Dream with Star Wars fucking
I'm fine with them giving me a Star Wars that's just, you know, the text-based,
I think, know, it's going to be
story
set in High Republic. Right?
All
right. Or before High Republic, even?
I don't care where it is. Just give me those.
James is like, I just want to experience this bitch. I don't do it. This shit could be in the fucking sewers of goddamn Tatooine. I don't care.
Well, yeah.
That would be great.
Then another thing is the Ubisoft game, which no one knows anything about, but they're doing an open world Assassin's Creed type Star Wars game, probably.
I mean, I'm actually pretty excited about that one. Like,
if I'm a bed man, you know?
Detroit Become Human was an incredible game. And if they can do that with just taking, even if they go the Jedi route, they can take somebody who's just learning that they're Force sensitive, and then you're going through, like, you can, if it's during the era where the Jedi are being hunted, or, you know, the turn of the century from the High Republic when Jedi were prevalent, and then the Sith start coming back, and now you discover you're Force sensitive, and you have to figure out either how to turn it off or you can't hide it, and then it's all just like the text-based, you know, story decisions. I'm all for that. It's gonna be a rich story, and just give it to me. So
you can't be getting me this excited before the arena, dude. Like that sounds fantastic. It sounds really fucking good.
I mean, they've done that already, dude. That's what they did with Heavy Rain. That's what they did with Detroit Become Human.
That's and a good, like, story though. Like, that'd be great.
You know, I'm a writer. Quantic Dream, hire me if you're listening.
At least take the pitch.
They are taking it. They wrote it down.
They're just like, oh, that's a great idea. How many people listen to their shit? Ah, we'll be fine. No, they're not going to fight us.
The only thing that I'm scared about. The only thing I'm scared about is that one, like, Nintendo Switch game. What is it called? Star Wars Hunters? That looks like more... that should be straight to phones, but... Everything else I'm like all about, but that one is the one where I'm like, oof, let's see how that turns out.
Listen, sometimes they need a revenue stream to just put out real quick and so they can get more money. That's it. That's all it is. It's fine. Let them have those occasional things. It's okay.
All right. So speaking occasional, right?
Yeah.
In what seems like almost a monthly occasional situation, there's another monthly Bloodborne rumor. Okay. So... And what seems yet in almost a monthly occurrence, Bloodborne is trending again on social media. This time, it's because ex-Sony heavy hitter David Jaffe, who had a hand in developing Twisted Metal and God of War, let it be known on his Twitch stream that he has heard insider talk that the Bloodborne IP is being quote-unquote worked on. So, does this mean it's a PlayStation 5 remake like Demon's Souls? Does it mean it's a full-blown Bloodborne sequel?
Ooh.
I don't know, but whatever it is, I'm here for it.
God give it damn to it, me. What is it?
Whatever it is, I won't buy it.
I know you won't, but I am excited because I did not get to play Bloodborne. However, I really like the aesthetic. I like, I'm a Souls person. Hands down, yeah, I just love Souls.
I would say, yeah, like them doing, even them re-releasing it, like, you know, an updated version for everybody to play. Like, of all people, I know you'd love the game, friend, but, like, there's a lot of people that, like you, they've heard about it, but they never got to play
it. Yeah, so. No, dude, like, honestly, like, that goth shit, give it to me, I will buy a PS5. Like, that might actually be, because there's always a system seller for me, every system. I think Bloodborne would get me to go in that direction, if it's good.
That is a bold strategy, Con.
Yeah, Bloodborne was, like, I feel like Bloodborne, to me, is more, I don't want to say mainstream, but it is more of a, like... Like you just said, Fun, right? Like, you want to play that more than a Sekiro, which was multi-platform.
Yeah. So, Sekiro seems more niche, for sure.
Yeah, so it's like, I don't know, it's just something about the aesthetic, the setting, the music, the story. I mean, just the, like, you know, From Software isn't very famous for their stories, but something about Bloodborne was like, I don't know what's going on, but, like, give me more of that. Like,
yeah. Even watching you guys play, I've seen you both play it and, like, run through the opening, run through sections, and I've always been like, fuck. I can't play that.
It's and you know what it is that I, you know, Sekiro and Elden Ring are the multi-platform besides Dark Souls, which mm-hmm. is more traditional Demon Souls, but Bloodborne just has that like loop, that gameplay loop that rewards you for being aggressive more yeah. than just hanging back and, like, you know, because that's kind of how Elden Ring can be. That's kind of how Sekiro can be. Dark Souls, all that shit is like...
You got to make it that way, though. Like, they give you too much freedom.
Yeah. Like, they're like, oh, man, there's 5 guys out there. I better hold back and, like, kind of bait each one to me. No. Bloodborne is straight up, like, just go in there, chop them up, dodge, parry with your gun.
Yeah, dip, duck, dodge.
Exactly, right? Yeah. So, I think that's what drew me to it, too. And, you know, that's what... It's crazy that my, you know... What, I think Nate beat it when he was like fucking 10 or 9, dude. Like 9 or 10, and this kid got sucked into a From Software game like that.
That's why he can play Captain Falcon at the level that he does. That's why.
He beat it before me, and I'm like, dude, I can't let my kid beat a game and I can't beat it. So I went back and played it and finally said, like, you know what? This is the only game I'm going to fucking play. There's not going to be any other game I'm playing. And I finally just went into it, like, full-born, just straight up Bloodborne in it. And I was like, fuck, like, this is what I should have did back in 2015, not in 2020.
That's the mark of a gamer right there, dude. We can actually focus on one game, because I always have, like, 3 in rotation. Yeah. So, yeah, that's, except today, now. Obviously, we're going to discuss it in a little bit, but, yeah. Holy shit.
I just really hope... I think even more so than a sequel, I would totally be fine with the Demon's Souls-like remake for the PS5 of Bloodborne.
Yeah. Give us more of the universe, honestly. That'd be fantastic.
If they're going to go remake fucking Last of Us for the PlayStation 5... Then they need to remake. Yeah, they need to remake Bloodborne. Now, like, honestly,
question: what if they do a Elden Ring style, more open Souls game, but something in the Bloodborne universe with cities and, like, all shit like that?
I mean, if they keep the gameplay loop of Bloodborne with the whole, like, you don't have a shield to block and you're, like, you're rewarded for being aggressive, mm-hmm. but they make it, I don't want to say open world, but more open to where, like, I would even say maybe even a Metroidvania type of thing to where you can just kind of go where you want. If you don't have a certain upgrade, you can come back later. Like, I'd be about that.
Mm. Okay. All right. Well, we'll fucking see how that turns out then. I'm excited though. Like, honestly, this would be one of the things that would push me to get a PS5. Although I'm doing pretty good financially now, so maybe that's more in the cards, but we'll see. We'll see. Okay, but that's our leaky rumor mill right there. From here on out, we're going to talk about what we'd be playing. I think we're all playing the same shit, but I'm going to go ahead and just run it to you guys first. What are you playing?
Well, I am probably at the end of Jedi Survivor.
Oh, what?
Yeah, I ran through it. Like, I'm almost certain I'm at the last part. Jesus. In fact, I think I am at the last part. That's how good it is.
Mm-hmm.
Besides what I'm gonna say next. Anyway, but Tears of the Kingdom came out, so I abandoned that, and now I'm stuck on Tears of the Kingdom. So
that's gamer fucking dilemma right there, dude.
Yeah, I mean, I could probably just easily jump over and finish Survivor real quick, but Tears of the Kingdom has me completely. And yeah, that's what I'm playing.
Oh, I'm with you on that one. I'll get into more details, but Cordova, what are you playing? I think we all have a side game, and then we're gonna have a Tears of the King discussion, obviously.
Yeah, so I finally just actually beat, you know, thank you for not pushing the record button, because now I was able to finally beat Resident Evil 4.
Yeah,
which I wasn't beating. So yeah, I beat Resident Evil 4, which was, I believe, now is above Resident Evil 2 in the remake.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I held Resident Evil 2 in a very high, pristine type of thing, and yeah, Resident Evil 4 remake totally just took that over.
That post credits, baby.
Oof. Yeah, they took, well, they, it was the more the gameplay, because I'm like, damn, they really took it and just ran with it, you know, like,
yeah,
the parry system, all that shit. So I was, you know, beat that. I liked it. I'm probably gonna try to do another run through maybe over summer when the other gaming kind of calms down. So yeah,
our July to August lull we always get. Yeah
So I beat that, and then of course Tears of the Kingdom, like you guys said, which I'm not gonna lie, within the first maybe 10 minutes I was like, yep, here we go. I don't know if it's worth $70, but yeah, I'm in it right now. So
it's got me.
Yep I spent about 2 hours on launch night up until about midnight playing it, and then I finally got to start Jedi Survivor, which unfortunately got pushed back because of Resident Evil. But yeah, in the first, I think I played an hour of that, and I can see what James is talking about, because I'm about to get sucked into that too. It's going to be literally nothing but Jedi Survivor and Tears of the Kingdom for me for the next month or so.
Yeah. Oh yeah, so listeners, get ready for that shit. That's all we're going to be talking about.
Oh yeah. What are you playing for the next three episodes, dude? Two games,
that's it. That's exactly it. Yeah.
Basically.
Mm-hmm. Now, I actually had restarted Jedi Fallen Order, because I never beat it, and man, I was falling in love with that game. I don't know what was wrong with me when I was playing it initially, but it's actually a fantastic fucking game, and I really want to go back to it. And then same with Halo Infinite. I thought, like, goddamn, Halo was back, but nobody knew how back it was because of how stupid it's been for the last 10 years. But unfortunately, they just Zelda. Like, I'm a Zelda boy. You know, I'm a fucking, my name's Hyrulean Hustler on IG. Like, yeah. I'm a fucking Zelda boy.
Whore, dude. That's
yep.
what it is.
Mm-hmm. I literally got the Pro Controller because now it's $150 online, so yay.
Oof.
I know. Yeah, I snagged that shit right away. I was not planning on upgrading to the OLED, but literally was in my hometown, or Corona, and I was like, fuck, it's right there. Pitch it to you guys. Nobody bought it. And then my roommate, former roommate, actually bought it. So now I got to switch OLED. And yeah, man, I don't know. This game, it's got me. Like, it's got me 100%. I love the building. I'm surprised at how much I really enjoy it. But Hyrule itself is super fucking dense. Like, compared to Breath of the Wild, where there's a lot more space, there's a lot more meditative, it's a lot more, I don't know. It's a different kind of experience. Where Tears of the Kingdom, I feel, is really, really thorough. Like, even when I go to the Sky Islands, puzzles are fantastic. Like, it's a very puzzle-heavy area. Hyrule itself, it's nice catching up and seeing the upgrades. And how far are you guys? Just real quick before I get to the next portion here.
I'm barely going to get my fucking paraglider, dude. I'm still in the beginning.
I ain't spoiling
shit. I got sidetracked.
I ain't spoiling shit. Okay, get your fucking paraglider and then see where the rest of the game is from there. Because, damn. Yep. How about you, James?
I'm not telling you.
Yeah, come on.
No, I will say I just got to the first big temple.
I'll just say that. You're past me, dude. I haven't been there yet.
Yeah, of course, because I'm the Zelda boy. Not
nah,
you,
you're fucking.
Oh shit!
Right in my heart. Yep. No, I. Yeah, once I got the paraglider, I fucked off and went and did side shit. But yeah, I think I've come to terms with not beating this game for a very long time. It's just,
I mean, that's what I did. I literally beat Breath of the Wild minutes before Tears of the Kingdom started. I literally. I literally beat Ganon. Spoiler alert, which is not a spoiler.
Not really.
Anyway,
40 years.
I literally beat him. It turned 9:05 when I finished Breath of the Wild, and I've had my save file since it came out. So
damn. Mm-hmm.
I would say, do that, people.
Yeah. No. It does feel different than Breath of the Wild in some ways, and then very, very familiar in a lot of ways. But that's not a bad thing. I don't think. Yeah. I think it definitely they're complementary experiences. Anybody new, if you want to get into Zelda, I still suggest you play Breath of the Wild first, but take your time, and then when you're ready, Tears of the Kingdom, but also take your time, because it's just, it's addicting, dude. It's a very addicting game.
Yeah, hopefully it won't be $70 in fucking a couple months, but...
No, it's Nintendo, dude. They get those vouchers, baby! I can see it being up there with the GOAT level, but we'll see how it turns out again. That's just what we're playing right now. We'll obviously follow up with more Tears of the Kingdom or whatever we're doing as more people get into it, because I really don't want to spoil this experience for a lot of listeners. So, you know, just know it's worth the purchase, but also if you need to get the vouchers, there's a lot of good games. Only $50 each, I say do it. Okay. So, gaming win of the month. What you guys
got? Take a wild guess, dude. Take a wild guess what the gaming win of the month is, Flynn.
I mean, I'm reading it right here. You want to read yours?
Oh, well, mine's different than James's, but mine would be the same as James's as well, yeah. Tears of the Kingdom.
Same here, actually, yeah.
So, well, how long was it in development? Six years?
Yeah,
6 years. So, I mean, you know... Good things take time, I guess, but
to build on what they did initially and make it something refreshing but also familiar is pretty astounding to me.
Yeah, I agree. Anuma is like up there with Miyamoto now. I mean, he's always kind of been, but like now he's like, step down, buddy. Like, Anuma is gonna be, I don't know what goes in that guy's mind, but like to make two bangers back to back, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, on that level too. I mean, these things are huge.
Like, if it wins Game of the Year, will it be the first time that a game like property has won Game of the Year back to back?
I don't know. With Zelda and Zelda, no, Zelda's consistently won Game of the Year. So I mean that makes sense. But they're also released every like 4 to 5 years between each other. This is the longest one.
Okay.
Yeah. But you know. I would say Killing Koroks is actually pretty fun. Have you seen those videos?
Oh, yeah. Internet's going wild, dude.
Dude, they've been doing some Ramsay Bolton shit to these fucking Koroks.
You know what else the internet has been doing is just making dick weapons, dude.
The amount of dick machines out there, dude. Oh, my Lord.
Fucking savagery, dude. Just making a big old robot out of just a flaming dick.
Yeah, dude, you can't give children... free reign in a building game and not expect fucking dicks to come out.
Yeah.
And I don't mean children as literal children. I meant grown men who are children.
Absolutely, absolutely.
That shit. I saw one where the guy was like, the fucking creation was laying down on its back and then he shot it and then it just sprang to life, stood up, and you just see a flaming dick just start flailing in the air and I'm just Jesus. Like, wow. Nintendo just, woof.
It's all these fucking autistic STEM motherfuckers knowing physics so well and they're just like, ha ha ha, you see that shit? Yep.
Yeah.
I will also give a real quick special shout out though. Leading up to Tears of the Kingdom, I had been watching a lot of video essays on games and stuff. One of the GOATs of all time for a YouTube gaming channel, Game Maker's Toolkit. Cordova, you know about this channel, right?
Like, yep.
Literally one of the best. If you ever want to learn about game development, game stories, mechanics, they did a great Zelda series recently about what makes Breath of the Wild Breath of the Wild, but also they've always done consistent, good videos about why we play games and what developers can learn to make games good. And I will always shout them out, but in particular they've just been hitting bangers back to back, man. So Game Maker's Toolkit, if you haven't seen it, literally just Google it and check it out. Fucking amazing.
On YouTube, great. And then mine also, besides Tears of the Kingdom, is because I just barely started Jedi Survivor the first hour or so. I was like already sucked into it. And unfortunately though, that my win can also turn into James's fails.
Detail it for us, James, please.
So generally when a game comes out and there is rampant graphics issues and, you know, just issues with the game in general. I never really experienced that all the way through, but Jedi Survivor is the first time that it's been really, really bad. Mm. Everything that everybody's had issues with since the beginning, like PC and console, it's been happening. Like, the game's crashed at least 5 times on me, and there is severe frame rate drops, even in performance mode, which at this point shouldn't be happening. Like, for the fact that Jedi Fallen Order plays better at 60 FPS than its sequel is kind of sad, because they've had so much time to, like, work on that same engine, and it shouldn't be this flawed. Mm-hmm. But I will say it's not enough to ruin the game for me, because it's going to be a gaming win of the month still. It's a gaming win of the month, but a gaming fail for me, because it's such a good game, like, storyline-wise, and they really took the elements of the first one and added on top of it to make it such a rewarding experience. But yeah, the graphics issues are pretty bad, and they even released some patches to help it, but it didn't really help it much. Like, I would say it probably crashed 3 times on me pre-patch, and like 2 or 3 more times post-patch. So there's like a lot of issues, like I said, with frame rate drop. Like, but I think it's because, like we were discussing this, there is so much more going on in the game. I won't say what, to not spoil it for Alex and for you, Fwen, and for whoever's listening. But what I will say is there's more enemies, I think, like, that just come at you because of everything you're given, that they didn't really account for that. Because, you know, you have so many different powers that do different things, that do, especially do things to physics in the game. So that, I don't think they accounted for, because they're adding more, like, blaster fire and more lightsaber hits and, you know, everything that's going on graphically, and I think that's what's really dragging it down. I would say right now it's probably still at a 9 out of 10 for me, even with the graphics issues, but yeah, it's pretty bad, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good tale of, like, ambition can take you a very far way, but you still gotta be a little realistic there. So hopefully this gets ironed out, because I've honestly heard nothing but good things about the base actual gameplay and game itself.
Yeah.
But yeah, it seems like, from what I've read and, like, people have told me about, they're very egregious issues when it comes to graphics.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, they really are. And, like, that's what I mean. Like, for me, even playing Jedi Fallen Order on the PlayStation 4, mm-hmm. even the base game ran smoother than when they upped it and they made it graphically better. That's what's going on. That's
a generation ago, baby. No.
And that's what I mean. Like, the PlayStation 5 can handle a lot more, so I don't understand why it's like it plays like this mm-hmm. at times. It's not all the time. It's not like, you know. It doesn't ruin the game, but there's too many reports about game breaking bugs, and, you know, there's the graphics issues and then the crashes. So there's a lot going on that's wrong. That mm-hmm. kind of really sucks, because it's such a good game overall that might turn some people off.
Oh, yeah. You can do the shit to a live service game, but do not do it to our Star Wars single player experience.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, especially Respawn, too. They usually have a pretty good reputation for launching something that works. But yeah.
Right. Oh, right. Yeah. And I don't know. I don't recall if they delayed it or not. I don't remember. But
I can't remember either.
I think they delayed it like a couple weeks, actually. It was supposed to launch in the beginning of April. Almost like a week after Resident Evil 4, I believe.
That's right. Yeah, so, I mean, maybe, you know, they should have delayed it a little bit longer, like a month or two, to, like, really iron out the issues, which they're trying to fix right now. They're really on top of it, but, you know, I also understand that, you know, every game that releases has its issues. It's nothing's perfect, but, you know, to have this many issues that are widespread, usually it's, like, PC's affected, console really isn't affected, you know what I mean? But, like, they're both severely affected, and that's what kind of sucks for it.
No, I mean, exactly. I think they were trying to get ahead of Zelda, honestly. Like, that's probably what they were doing.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
They're like, all right, well, we got to release before that comes out, otherwise we're going to get buried.
Yeah, people are going to have the time for this shit, unfortunately.
I mean, I don't think that would have been the case because of how good Jedi Fallen Order is and mm-hmm. how many people were waiting for this sequel. Like, I was, like, so excited when they announced it, and, like, it's here, and, again, I'm almost at the end, so it's not enough for me to be like, oh, I can't play it, it's unplayable. It's not Cyberpunk level bad.
Yeah, but okay, that's good to know. That's actually a very good caveat
It's nowhere near that bad, but there are issues.
No, that's a good summation right there. Okay. Yep. All right. Well, I'm going to get to mine because, Cordova, yours links to the last part of this episode. So.
Oh, yeah.
Sega is potentially raising their prices of their games to $70. I'm sorry, fail. Fuck off. Sega, you are not worth $70 for any of your fucking games. I'm sorry. Last week I had Ubisoft laying off their employees, which is pretty bad, but, you know, at the end of the day, I can forgive inflation and all this other shit that comes into their thought process. This week, nah. Sega, I will never buy your games full price. Like, that's just not gonna happen. I've only ever gotten Sega games on sale. And this it just continues to support this trend that I am not liking here, where I really don't feel they put enough effort and care into their games to make it that price point. I just don't see that. And a lot of companies, maybe Ubisoft, because it's such a big, comprehensive company that you can have multiple languages for everything. Like, generally, the games are also pretty polished, too, nowadays, at least. You know, Assassin's Creed Unity is a whole different story, but that was almost 10 years ago. so, yeah, Sega, I'm sorry, you were... They're just not there, dude. You're not Capcom. You're not fucking Square. You're Konami's trying to not be you. So, yeah, Sega with $70 games, it's just... That's just more for waiting for digital deals, and I think it's going to fuck up the launch. So,
what game are they launching at 70?
They were just discussing in the future, okay. The next round of games, because of how much resource we're putting into it, will likely be $70.
I haven't finished it, but I would say, without a shadow of a doubt, that Sonic Frontiers would not be worth $70.
Yeah, that's what I hear too. Despite everybody saying it's actually a really good fucking game, but it's no $70 game.
It's from what I played probably like... I don't know, I probably got like 4 or 5 hours into it, I'd say. It's a good game. It's very interesting, but I would not pay $70 for that.
Dude, I'm not even paying $60 for it, so yeah.
Yeah.
So, I think maybe they're trying to market the Yakuza following, maybe for $70? Maybe.
I mean, that would make sense because Yakuza games are so in-depth. Like, I started playing Like a Dragon, and again, I haven't finished it, but I got really deep into it, and I would say that game's probably worth $70.
Okay, that makes more sense then. That makes more sense, being very selective about their $70.
Yeah, I mean, their RPGs are good, so I would say if they're going to make something, like, expansive, and even, like, so the Yakuza series is open world, but not open world. It's very linear open world, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. But if they were to make a more open world Yakuza game, then yeah, that would be worth $70 for sure.
Okay, so see, Sega, hey, you can kind of get away with it sometimes, but don't get fucking used to it.
No. Definitely don't be charging $70 for every crap game you release. Don't do that.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I agree with that. All right, Cordova, what you got?
Yeah. So mine, of course, is the one everyone saw coming with the whole Redfall and Xbox admitting defeat thing.
Yeah.
Arkane Studios developed Redfall right under their first big exclusive contract with Xbox, and talk about fumbling the bag, so to speak. I mean, Arkane made Deathloop.
Definition of fumbling the bag.
Yeah, they made Deathloop. They made the Dishonored series. I mean, they have a very good repertoire in the gaming community lately, right? I mean, then they come and make Redfall, and everyone's like, what the fuck? Like, where's the Arkane magic?
Dude, unquote. Like, how, right? That was my big thing. Like, how? You've made bangers nonstop.
Yeah.
Literally nonstop. About,
yeah, Prey, which was, like, some people consider the predecessor to Bioshock.
The successor to Bioshock.
Yeah, I'm sorry. The successor, as in, like, man, Bioshock came out on the Xbox 360, and we didn't really have our PS3, Xbox 360, I should say, and then PS4 and Xbox One didn't really have that Bioshock type of game. Mm-hmm. And then Prey came out, and they were like, everyone was like, oh shit, I think this might be the next Bioshock in a way.
Yeah, I haven't played it, but I would say Deathloop more for me is Bioshock style.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I am like, I will die on that hill. Deathloop is a fucking great game.
Yeah.
So it kind of really sucks that Redfall is this bad, because this is their follow-up to Deathloop. Yeah. And Deathloop was such a good game. It was such an interesting concept. And like
honestly, Deathloop was fun.
Honestly, yeah. Honestly, that game would have almost made me buy an Xbox if it was an exclusive. Because that's how I feel about it. I just think it was a really interesting premise and a really interesting idea, and the fact that, like, you literally dropped in the world and you have no idea what's going on and you have to figure it out. But it's an FPS and you have Bioshock-like powers. So, again, I haven't played Prey, so it's probably more Bioshock than Deathloop. But for me, Deathloop is like you're a noir-style detective and you're, like, dropped in a world where you don't know what's going on and you're trying to figure things out and you're given powers and guns. So that's BioShock to me.
Yo, dude, Prey is like the horror aspect of BioShock. Okay, the format given to it. So it's like, dude, these, again, like when we bring up these games, like Arcane, literally every successive game and new attempt at a franchise has fucking killed. Like, their attempt at something new always worked literally until right here, and it just failed so badly. I don't get that. Like, it was a significant drop comparatively. So,
do you think do you think it's because, like, their promotion was, like, kind of too much for it? Like, they were just trying to force it down everyone's throats. In the sense,
I feel
like,
you on that one. That makes
like,
sense.
With Deathloop, they promoted it, but it wasn't like, "Hey, this is like the next genre-defining game." And you're like, "All right, like calm down." Yeah. Just like, you know, here's Deathloop, and I was like, "That looks interesting." Like just the trailer alone, like the way that they showed it at E3 and talked about it, I was like, "Whoa, that looks interesting." And then I bought it and I loved it. So I think with Redfall, and I think too because they just did that, they do the stupid thing where they just show the cinematic trailer. It's like, dude, we don't want that. Yeah, we want to see gameplay. We want to know what it's about. I don't give a shit about cinematics. Like, we can see that when we're playing the game. Yeah. Like, give us gameplay and describe the gameplay and let us know what we're getting into and how it's different and all of that jazz. But when your first E3 reveal is like, oh, hey, here's a story cinematic trailer that no one gives a shit about, like, people are going to get turned off initially. I mean, that's what's going on with Suicide Squad, Kill the Justice League. They released the cinematic trailer, and now everyone's like, all right, dude, we really don't care. Instead of just being like, here's some, we're going to wait to announce it at E3 and then go, here's some gameplay. And you go, oh, wow, that looks pretty cool, you know?
It's a red flag now. Cinematic trailer's a fucking red flag, I'm sorry. Like, as a gamer, you're just like, they ain't got shit. That's my mentality. Usually.
And then, and then at that point, why even make an E3 announcement? Why just save it for, like, you know, one of the little smaller video presentations that we see and then be like, okay, here's the first 5 minutes of Redfall and people go, oh wow, that looks interesting, and then you get people hyped up like that instead of being like, oh, it's a bunch of vampire hunters but nobody knows what the fuck is going on because we're not going to reveal the full story to you. And it's like, okay,
and even in the story there's no CG, dude. It's just literally just like text boxes and shit. Like, again, it was undercooked, underdelivered. Sorry, dude, you fucked up Microsoft reputation even worse. There it already is. Way to fucking go. Please, go continue, Cordova. My bad.
So, no, I was going to say, just to wrap it all up with the absurd headline that we talked about earlier, right? I mean, having the CEO of your, you know, gaming division and all that, it's pretty much saying that, you know, it's just not true that if we make great games, that's just, like, what are you talking about? PlayStation 4 and 5 now, they have a plethora of exclusive games that, I wonder why PlayStation's selling so good. Oh, it's probably because these games you can only play on PlayStation. God of War, Ghost of Tsushima, Demon Souls, you know, Horizon for the open world lovers out there.
And they feel like Sony games. Yeah. Like they have a voice.
Yeah.
That Xbox does not have.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I wanted to bring this up because if you guys remember, I mean, technically the 360 was beating the PlayStation 3 when it launched.
For a long time.
Everyone had a 360.
I was an Xbox loyalist at that time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I get it.
Yeah. And then Xbox One comes and that stupid ass announcement where for whatever reason they wanted to come in on their high horse and say, like, you know, we're going to lock down your guys' games. It's like, why? Yeah. Why would you do that? Like,
Fumbled the fucking bag.
No one in the history of pretty much gaming would say, you know what? I really like this game. I really hope I can only play it on this one console that's locked on the internet. Mm-hmm. It's like, that's just dumb. Like, they never recovered from that. I don't think so.
I mean, we talked about this last time as well, but it's like their dedication to try to make these, like, grand games without just focusing on what made Xbox special. Just like, go back to the bare essentials, like, you know, your Halo, give us another Fable, you know, give us all those amazing indie arcade games that made Xbox great. And especially because, like, all these studios could benefit from the Game Pass, getting a slice of the Game Pass to put their game on Game Pass. And it's like, especially because if they're smaller scale studios and they know they're not going to sell millions of units or what have you, that's fine, but at least get some sort of revenue stream coming in from people paying for, you know, the Xbox Game Pass and then their game appearing on there.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand why they moved away from that, and they're just like, okay, well, we're going to make this next Starfield space epic. And it's like, all right, well, one, you're already copying No Man's Sky, and two, like, you're taking forever for this one game instead of, like, expanding out to, like, several games, smaller scale teams. They might not be as grand. They might not be, you know, as crazy, like, a 500-hour game or what have you, but, I mean, at least give us quality. Smaller-scale quality always wins out.
Yeah, they got Microsoft money anyways, dude.
Yeah.
Like, and seriously, throw resources at the shit.
Really, though, and then, like, what's the point of, like, again, they got wrapped up in the whole, like, we're going to start acquiring studios like Sony did because we want to beat them in that, and it's like, why? Why are you doing that? Just, like, stop doing that and produce fucking games.
Like, yeah, that's no. That's all you got to do. Exactly. Honestly, my big thing is, well, of course, as I just said just a little bit ago, Microsoft used to have a voice. They lost their voice completely.
They did.
There's no Xbox feeling game anymore. That is gone. It's just not there.
Well, like Alex said before, the last two franchises, well, Halo, obviously, and then Gears of War. Gears of War had an Xbox voice. But
it did, absolutely.
They lost it since then. They haven't really produced anything that's been, like, that amazing since those franchises ended.
And everything they produced since is try-hard.
Yeah.
Tried too fucking hard, and it does not work. So,
yeah, the 360 had Halo 3, had Halo 3 ODST, which in its own right is like, you know, make another, give us another Halo game like that.
You know,
like,
give us a city to cruise around, please.
So
please.
They had those two. They had Reach, which is widely considered as one of the best Halo games ever. And then they had 4, right? Mm-hmm. Kind of like trying to keep it going. So that's 4 games for one console. Xbox One had Halo Master Chief Collection and Halo 5 Guardians, both which came out fumbling. Like, literally, there was so many things wrong with it. And if you're going to launch your biggest IP on your new console and you can't deliver that, it's like, why are people going to stick around? And then here comes Infinite with the same fucking thing. Like, you guys go and tout, like, hey, we heard that you guys didn't like no split screen in Halo 5, so we're going to bring back split screen and all this shit. And then Halo Infinite launches, and guess what? There's no split screen. Which is like,
like, you guys didn't forget about that?
Yeah. It's like, you guys literally were touting this at your conference saying split screen is what made Halo Halo, which in a way it technically did back in the Xbox One days.
Yeah.
And you just lied. Well, fumbled.
So, Fable 3 came out in 2010. And then the Xbox One came out in 2013. Like, why were they not developing Fable 4 as the console selling game? Like, they never did that. And I don't understand why they wouldn't. Like,
yeah. No, they had Fable Heroes, James, and they canceled.
Well, whatever they did something stupid, because if they would have done Fable,
to make it multiplayer, that's what they did.
If they did Fable 4, like, that would have made me buy an Xbox One or because that's how good Fable 3 was. And again, that's one of those exclusives where it's like, damn, like, okay, Xbox knows what it's doing too.
Well, you're not getting it anywhere else too. Fable had very unique mechanics to it that just literally had not been replicated anywhere else.
Dude, you could get an STD from an NPC in the game.
And become the king 20 hours later.
I was a fat wizard because I ate too much food, and it was the funniest gaming experience of my life, because I would eat because I was hurt, but because I ate too much, I just got this fat gut. And I had a wizard hat. It was the funniest damn thing to me. It's still burning my head. And, like, that's, like, just how amazing. Like, I found a condom, and I was like, you gotta be freaking kidding me. There's condoms in this game.
You're like, thank God this happened digitally. Holy shit.
Right. And that's what I mean, though. Like, that's what made that game so unique, because they were putting, like, real-world elements into high fantasy, and, like, the RPG-level gameplay was so good, and they could have made something so special instead of trying to go the MMO route and just keeping it like single player, you know, some RPG elements. Like, give us Fable 4 that single player, but give us some community building in it, like Fallout 4, you know, there's base building, but like the community can add stuff, you know, stuff like that.
I mean,
like,
Fable was always good about that. Right. Always good about that.
Ugh. So, but they just completely went away from that and everything that made them so special and the games that they were producing, And yeah, it's like, dude, what? Now we're gonna get what, Starfield? And again, it's just, I feel like it's gonna get laughed at. I feel like it's gonna be a fucking No Man's Sky replica, but a bad one.
I agree. You know what? They have to kill it next month, dude. That's it. They have 1 month. Literally, this is like their game fucking seven, fourth quarter right here. They don't do it.
I don't know.
That's
if,
it.
If Sony, well, we didn't even talk about, but fucking Sony's launching goddamn Spider-Man 2 in like September. Yeah. And Spider-Man 1, like, talk about, I didn't even mention that in the original speak of exclusives, but it's like, goddamn, dude, Spider-Man is the greatest comic book game since Arkham Asylum, Arkham City and all that, right?
Yep.
It's like, where, that's what Microsoft needs to be looking at. It's like, dude, like, look what people are buying.
Dude, give us a Polka Dot Man game or something.
Make something. Like, fuck, do something instead of just,
That's a very good, I like that. Do something. Come
that,
on.
That meme of the little guy with the stick, do something.
Yeah, exactly.
That's Xbox. It's been Xbox that's for too long.
I like that. That's gamers poking Microsoft. Like, dude, do something besides Forza, bro.
Yeah. If you do another 30-minute presentation on Forza, I'm going to toss my fucking laptop.
Dude, and that's a really niche thing. Like, racing game enthusiasts, they're a small group.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. Fuck them, James.
I agree. You're not going to get by just releasing Forza 50. Like, we need something else. Like, you know, again, Fable 4. You know, what's up, man? Can you do it?
Can you do it? Yes. Okay. Okay, let's wrap up, guys. We're getting too hot. We got to take this heat into the arena after this. So, okay. With that, guys, I think we're good. We were pretty hard on this episode. Thankfully, it's actually recorded. So, that is the NPC Gaming Podcast, ladies and gentlemen. You can find us on Instagram at npc.gaming.pod. We are available on iTunes, Spotify, everywhere you can listen to a podcast. We are, again, part of the Horrible People's Network. This is HORROBLE People's Network. Thank you to James and Cordova for here for our collective bitching on Microsoft, but our collective praise of our boy Link just trying to save the day.
Bitching about the recording, too. About that,
okay, that's fine. That's fine. I'm going to pause it after this. Anyways.
I'm a little upset that that wasn't my gaming fail of the month.
Yeah, okay. There's still time, all right? I can do another one. It's fine.
Okay, so gaming fail of the month is when not pressing record last time.
Yeah, okay, I'm going to stop. I'm going to press stop record right now. Adios, everybody. See ya.
Later.
Later. Thank you.